This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting muslimcentral.com/donate.
Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. A few days. That's how he describes for us subhanahu wa ta'ala the decreed fasting upon us. It's going to be a few days, just a number of days. And yet again, we come to the end of these numbered days. And the three final Ramadanic reminders that I'm going to offer you today are no different than the ones that I offered you last year or the year before or the year before that. Firstly, it is not over until it's over. It doesn't end until it ends. If there's 1 second left of Ramadan, that means there's still 1 second left of hope for you to make up for that which you have missed out upon throughout the blessed month. So renew your intentions yet again. Renew your intentions a final time. Do not lose track or lose sight of that which you set out to achieve at the beginning of this month. As long as there is time left in the month, there is still time for you to try harder, to push yourself, to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best that you have, so that He may subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you that which you desire and that which you hope for. Whether that may be the forgiveness of your sins, whether that may be the freedom of punishment on the day of judgment, whether that may be increased amount of hasanat, whether that may be any other form of supplication that you have made and something that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to you and to grant you, then you still have time. It's not over until it's over. You must continue to carry that in your mind and in your heart. That's how he lived his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you follow him along, alayhi salatu wasalam, he never gave up hope until there was no hope left to be given. The example that I love the most in his seerah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that year of Hajj, the 10th year, the Hajj of that 10th year. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was looking for a tribe to accept his da'wah, someone who would show him some degree of protection so he could leave Mecca that were trying to kill him at that point. So he would spend all 10 days of Hajj speaking to different tribes. He would speak to 26 different tribes and he'd be rejected by them all. And he would stay, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Mina, trying to speak to people till the last moment. The narrators of Sirah, both Ibn Hisham and Al-Waqidi, they point out to us that the the meeting between the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the six young gentlemen from Yathrib happened at the last hour of the last day of Tashriq in the farthest part of Mina from Mecca. This is how they describe it. The days of Tashriq, which are the days of Hajj, you don't have to go through all of them. فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. So it can be 2 days, you can make them three if you really want to stay till the end. Usually after the second day, people leave and no one's almost left at all. But he was there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third day. And he stayed until the literal end when there was no one left. As long as there was someone left in Mina, he was there, alayhi salatu wasalam. And all that was left were six people, all under the age of 21. The eldest of them, As'ad ibn Zurara, the eldest of them was 21 years old. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would go to six young men, shaving their heads. There was no one left in all of Mina aside from them. And he would speak to them. And from there, the rest of the story as you know it. So you don't give up hope until the last moment. Today is the 26th day. There's still a number of nights. Ramadan this year is 30. Until the Asr, or until the Maghrib of the 30th day of Ramadan, until the Mu'adhin makes Adhan of the 30th day of Ramadan for Maghrib, then there is still hope that you find your way back and that you fulfill the promise that you made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills the promise that He made you. Akhwani wa akhawati, جددوا نياتكم وصححوها فما دام في الشهر بقية فما دام في هذا الشهر الكريم بقية وجب علينا ألا نيأس من رحمته وألا نقنط من فضله سبحانه وتعالى فإنه لا ينبغي للمسلم أن ييأس من روح الله ما دام ثمة مجال وفسحة للأمل وهذا الشهر لما ينقضي فلو أنك ضيعته كله واجتهدت في هذه الليالي عسى الله أن يقبلك عسى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرزقك ما لم يرزق غيرك فلا ييأس أحد حتى ينقضي هذا الشهر حتى يؤذن للمغرب في آخر ليل يوم من أيام رمضان ولو لم يبق من الشهر إلا دقيقة إلا ثانية لبقي منه ما يكفي أن يغفر الله لك وأن يعتق الله رقبتك وأن يكتبك من أهل الجنة اللهم اجعلنا من هؤلاء يا رب العالمين. يقول ابن رجب الحنبلي في اللطائف يقول يا شهر رمضان ترفق دموع المحبين تدفق قلوبهم من ألم الفراق تشقق عسى منقطع عن ركب المقبولين يلحق عسى أسير الأوزار يطلق عسى من استوجب النار يعتق يا شهر رمضان ترفق. My second reminder, today is Jumu'ah and it's the 26th day, meaning we're entering the 27th night. And no matter where you come from, or where you lived your life, the 27th night will always have a certain place in the hearts of this ummah. I am a firm believer that Laylatul Qadr is a night that moves around throughout Ramadans every year. But the 27th night is a night that just has a cultural significance. It has a significance, a scholarly significance as well. And it's the night of Afu, as the scholars of Islam have talked about historically. It's the night of Afu. It's the night of pardoning. It's the night where you can hope, or you can have an ambition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon you, will remove your sin. Forgiveness is one thing. Pardoning is something different. Forgiveness is when your sin is written in your book, but it's labeled as forgiven. So you'll be reminded of a Yawm al-Qiyamah, but you'll also be told it's forgiven. But you will be reminded of it. You will have to read it in your book. You'll have to recite it back to God, and He will have to tell you that this was forgiven. But it's there. Pardoning is a whole different thing. Pardoning is where it's not even in your book anymore. No one recalls it. The Malik who wrote it does not remember it. The person who was harmed by it does not remember it. And you almost lose your mind, Yawm al-Qiyamah, because this was what you were worried about all of your life. You were worried about this dhanb. And you can't find it. It's not in your book. The Malik who wrote it does not recall it. The person that you harmed does not remember it. And you go into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as you're reading through the book, it never comes out throughout the whole hisab. So you have no choice but to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where is this dhanb? Not that I want to. I'm glad it's not there, but I just don't understand. This is literally all I was worried about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind you of the night you said, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. And He granted you that. And He pardoned you. And He removed the sin. And He'll tell you, Ya Abdi, the only two that still know about this sin is me and you, Jalla Jalalullah. And as you walk out of here, I will make you even forget it. And it will be not as if it did not happen. It will be that it did not happen. And that is what you are looking forward to tonight. You are looking forward to the opportunity of sins not being forgiven. No, but be completely erased, as if they never happened. And the only one who knows about them will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, al-Afu subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that requires from you the ability to pardon others. Sayyidina Umar would stand in front of people before this night and say, Ya Ahl al-Madinah, ala inna al-Nasa jami'an fi hillin minni layla. فَمَنْ كُنْتُ قَدْ آدَيْتُهُ فَلْيَأْتِنِي فَلْيَكُنْ حِلًّا مِنْهُ. Tonight, O people of Medina, everyone, I forgive everyone. I turn a page. It's a new leaf. As if nothing before. That's afu. Afu means you'll never talk about it again. Afu, you'll never bring up the mistake ever again. The person will regain trust all over again. They'll regain trust. They'll go back to how it was, or even better. That's afu. It's hard, it's not easy, it's very difficult. Forgiveness is way easier. Forgiveness, you go from negative to neutrality, that's good. Afu, you go from negative to a high positive. I'm going to forgive the sin, we're never going to talk about it again, and then we're going to go back to the way it was, actually better. So Umar would stand and say this to people. Indeed, everyone is hil minni tonight, that's it. Whatever I carried is gone. If I've harmed anyone, come to me so that you maybe feel the same way about me. So they would. And then he would stand up, radiallahu anhu, and say, Ya Rabb, ha qad afa abduk, fa'afu Allahumma ant. Oh Allah, your servant now has pardoned. Now it's your turn to pardon us. Jalla jalaluhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we look forward to this night. You need to find a way to reach deep down into your soul and find the space to pardon those who mistreated you at some point in your life. And you will find it to be, hands down, probably the most difficult thing you'll ever do in the entirety of your existence, even though it requires zero physical stress. But it just is difficult for the human being to pardon, to get rid of something, of a mistreatment that occurred that was never, it's just very hard. But if you look forward to the night of Afu, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers you that, if that's what you want from Him, then do this, I guarantee you will get it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuses for His servant to be more generous than Himself. He refuses, subhanahu wa ta'ala, impossible that his servant be more generous than him. If you pardon, then you will be pardoned. Khwani wa khawati, هذه أودوننا ليلة العفو. مع اختلاف العلماء في تحديد ليلة القدر ومع راجحان أنها ليلة تتنقل بين العشر الأخير في آخر رمضان كل عام إلا أن ليلة السابع والعشرين يبقى لها فضلها وأثرها في قلوب المسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها وكان علماؤنا يجعلون هذه الليلة ليلة العفو فيعفو بعضهم عن بعض ويعفون عن الناس وإني أنصحكم وأنصح نفسي أن تعفو عمن ظلمك. يروي رزين عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال: وجدنا مكتوبا على قائم سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أعفو عمن ظلمك، أعفو عمن ظلمك، وصل من قطعك، وأحسن إلى من أساء إليك، وقل الحق ولو على نفسك. أعفو عمن ظلمك، تعفو، أعفو، تريده أن يعفو عنك، أعفو أنت عن الناس. مع عظم هذا الأمر ومع صعوبته البالغة، إلا أنك إذا أردت أن يعفو الله عنك أعفو أنت، فإن الله يأبى أن يكون عبده أكرم منه أو أعفى منه جله جل جلاله وتقدس في علاه. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، فاستغفروه يغفر لكم، يا فوز المستغفرين، استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. My final reminder of the month and of the year in Ramadan. This may sound a little bit weird to you. There is no real value in filling up masajid. There is no real value in doing that. Masajid in Ramadan, they serve as a launching pad. Numbers don't mean anything. I can show you pictures of masajid that have tens and thousands of people praying Taraweeh all year round, like all month round. We can just show you all throughout the Muslim world and beyond. Tens and thousands of people, masajid being full all there's no real value to that. If this month and these masajid don't serve as launching pads for people to go out after Ramadan and change their lives and do something that is valuable, coming to a masjid and pray, we don't fix our ummah by sitting in masajid and making dua all night or by praying all night. I know that sounds a little bit weird, but this is the reality of the matter. These salawat are designed to be fuel so that the ummah goes outside of the masjid and makes the difference that needs to be made. And whenever they get tired or they feel frustrated or they lose their connection, they come back again and they fill up and then they go back outside again. This concept that the ummah's status is going to be fixed just by filling masajid up is ludicrous, and I didn't realize that this was an actual belief that exists inside of our ummah. That's not how this works. Read Surah Al-Muzammil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam why he wants them to do all this qiyam. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ إِنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا وَإِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. You're going to be carrying a heavy burden. It's a heavy message that we're going to give you. You need as much prayer as you can. In order for you to carry this message, you have to be as connected to me as possible. So pray as much as you can so you can carry this. إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطَأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. At night is a good time for you. It allows you, it strengthens you more. Why? إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبَحًا طَوِيلًا. Sabahan is swimming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as if during the day you're going to be out there swimming amongst problems and masaib and difficulties and people. It's hard to do that. It's hard to get out there and actually do the work. You need your salah. You need your connection. You need your dua. You need that spiritual. You need it. That spirituality has to be strong or you can't do your work outside. So the point of all of this is not to fill these places and then after that, after we go back to this. No, it's not going to mean anything. Quantity means nothing. It's quality that matters. The fact that you came and you prayed, that has to result, that has to translate into some change in your life afterwards outside the masjid. Ya'ami, outside the masjid. This is not where Islam is practiced. This is where Islam is trained. This is where it's nurtured. And then it launches people out into the world where Islam is going to actually be practiced, where the work is going to happen. We make dua because we have to, because we were commanded to. Because dua explains to Allah, it shows Allah what we want. So when we make dua for Al-Ghazza, it shows him that we care, that they're still in our hearts. But if we're not going to go and do the work outside the masjid for them, then it doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry, this may sound, but that's the reality of the matter. This is the hard truth. This is the hard truth. Numbers in masajid in Ramadan, that's just for show. We had this number of people come pray. What happened afterwards? How many of them kept coming afterwards? How many of them educated themselves? How many of them organized and actually started to do something of worth, of value? How many of them got into outreach or education or mentorship or advocacy? How many of them did that versus they just came and prayed and left? and then came back and prayed again and then left again. When is the work going to happen? Do you think this is the work? This is not the work. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty upon me and you. That's all this is. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening his doors and saying, come my servants to me, so that you may see the beauty of being connected to me. Because if you find that beauty, then you will live the rest of your life making sure that you hold on to it, that you never lose it again. And that you work for him subhanahu wa ta'ala as his prophets did, as the sahaba did, as the people of God did. But without that, then this story will continue. It's just a replica. We'll just do the same thing next year. And yes, the masajid will be full and all the people running masajid will be all proud and be taking pictures and sharing them on their social media. It'll be all nice and cool and pretty, but then nothing will change. We'll be in the same exact spot, if not worse. Usually if you don't move forward, you regress and move backwards. That's how life works. If you don't move forward, you're moving backwards. So you have a lot of numbers. The Prophet ﷺ told us time and time again, it's not about numbers. Never has been. The Quran tells us, never about numbers. Not about numbers. The Quran keeps on telling us, that's not about numbers. He tells us that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, after each battle, he would explain, it's not about numbers. The numbers don't mount to anything. Don't count. They don't matter. What matters is this quality. The people who are out there doing the work, the people who have that dedication, the grit, the resilience. Without that, allow Ramadan to be a launching pad for you. Allow Ramadan to be the starting point. You come and tell me, Ramadan is almost done. Yeah, Ramadan is almost done. Not your ibadah. Not your relationship with God. That's not almost done. That's just starting. That's beginning. You celebrate the beginning of that real relationship with Eid. That's what you're celebrating. You're celebrating that you got through this spiritual heavy month that will allow you to be the best Muslim you can be outside. So that's why you celebrate. And you celebrate by starting and doing something of that meaning, by giving sadaqah. Because that's how you start doing something good. You give someone from the wealth that you have, even if you don't have a lot. So zakat al-fitr does not require nisab. It just requires for you to have enough food that day. Enough food, enough clothing that day, you have to pray zakat al-fitr. Why? Because that's how this works. Because you are launching your new life. You're walking out of Ramadan, there's no more sin, you have clarity, you're connected to the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and now you're going to move outside of the masajid and do the job that needs to be done, and you'll start by giving zakat. You'll start by giving sadaqah to those who can't find enough to eat, and you begin your life. That's the point of this month. Do not let this month, do not the purpose of it be defeated the moment it's over. Please don't let it be defeated the moment it ends. It's not fair. It's not fair. He opened his doors for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could you walk away afterwards? How can he open his doors for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and grant you something in your heart that you never felt before, and then you turn your back after Ramadan and walk away as if nothing happened? No, this is where we start. This is where we train. This is where we establish our connection, allowing us to be the people that we need to be outside of the masajid. Khawani wa khawati, ij'al Ramadan muntalaqa hidayatika fi hadhihi al-hayah. Ij'alhu اللحظة التي تبدأ فيها حياة الاتصال الدائمة بالله سبحانه وتعالى مسيرة الدعوة صراط القرب منه سبحانه وتعالى طريق النهضة هذا لا يبدأ بعد شهر رمضان. رمضان يملأ الله سبحانه وتعالى المساجد ويملأ قلوب عباده حبا ورحمة حتى يضعهم على الطريق. فالعيد هو منطلق هذا الطريق، تبدأه باحتفال وتبدأه بإعطاء الصدقة حتى تكمل هذا المسير. أما الإنسان يا أخواني يصلي في المسجد في رمضان ثم يدبر بعد رمضان وكأن شيئا لم يكن، فلا أدري والله ما الذي ننتظره من ربنا. الأرقام يا أخواني لا قيمة لها. امتلأت المساجد ولم تمتلئ. روح صليت العيد يوم الأربعاء ووجدت لك 6-7 آلاف واحد يصلوا. الأرقام ما لها قيمة يا أخواني. القضية بالجودة بطبيعة البشر، بقلوبهم، بأفئدتهم، بأرواحهم، بأهدافهم، بالتزامهم، بصبرهم، بمجاهدتهم أنفسهم والحياة التي من حولهم والمصاعب. دون هذا يا أخواني الأرقام لا قيمة لها. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام علمنا هذا مرة بعد مرة. غثاء كغثاء السيل، إذا أعجبتكم كثرتكم الآن خفف الله عنكم وعلم أن فيكم ضعفا. الأمر مكرر في القرآن. الأرقام لا قيمة لها. رب رجل يقوم مقام الألف، رب رجل يقوم مقام الألف، ورب ألف ألف لا يقوم لهم شيء، لا يكون لهم مقام أساسا. يا أخواني اجعلوا رمضان منطلقا في حياتكم، لحظة تبدأون بها مسيرة مختلفة عما كان عليه الأمر قبل شهر رمضان. That is what I have to share with you today. Eid, inshallah ta'ala, is going to be on Wednesday. It'll be 30 days this blessed month, as far as we can tell. The salawat, we'll share, inshallah, with you the timings of salawat al-Eid on the groups. We will be, inshallah ta'ala, in the jama'ah prayer and the BMO center. I think there's one, I believe, at 9 and another one at 10:30. So we'll be there. We won't have an Eid here. We'll, inshallah, look forward to seeing you all there to pray as a group. Sadaqat al-Fitr is between 15 and 20. I think it's put 15, but I would say if you have a little bit extra, maybe push that. It's wajibah upon everyone that you're financially responsible for. It's wajib over men. Men are responsible for their spouses and their children that they are taking care of. Anyone that you are responsible for financially, you owe Zakat al-Fitr for. And if your wife is pregnant, if it's beyond 17 weeks, then you owe for the fetus inside the belly as well. Give that Sadaqat al-Fitr prior to Salat al-Eid. Preferably, give it maybe 2 or 3 days before. Now, usually the sunnah used to be you give it the morning after Fajr, but it used to be easier. Back then, there were more people who were in need. You would just take your, you take the sha'ir or the burr or the qamh or the zabib or whatever you were going to give out, you go give it out before Salat al-Eid. It's much more difficult these days to do that. So give it early on, a couple of days in advance, so that the organizations that give them out can actually make sure that they reach the people who need it, and keep your brothers and sisters in Gaza in your dua. The reason that I gave this last piece is because I don't think that we're left with any degree of doubt of the horrors that we are seeing overseas, or things that we do not want our grandchildren to have to watch ever again. And if that is the case, and if you truly believe that these 170 plus days that we have been witnessing, the ongoing just the brutality that has been afflicting the people in Gaza in real time, being documented moment by moment, if you truly believe that this is something that has to stop, then even though we're not able, unfortunately, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yafu anna for this, that we're not able to stop it immediately, and we just don't have the tools to do so, that we have within our hands the tools to make sure that this does not happen again, and that the issue of the dhulm that happened in the Holy Land, and any other dhulm that happened anywhere else in this ummah, is not forgotten, and that we don't leave it and just live our lives as if this is not an actual problem, which is quite frankly the way we've been living our lives for the last maybe 70 to 100 to 200 years. When there's nothing that's occurring acutely, we just look the other way. And we book our time off, and we book our vacations, and we're focused on what we're buying and what we're having and what we possess and what's going to come next. And this whole concept is not even a part of the equation. This, what happened over the last 6 months, is a wake-up call. And if it doesn't serve as a wake-up call, then nothing will serve as a wake-up call. Quite frankly, if this is not going to make a difference for you, if this is not pushing you to make this Ramadan different and make what comes after it different, then I'm sorry, there may not be anything that will ever save you or me. And this is not, I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. If this is not going to make me be a different person and think differently and focus and change the way that I look at the world and the way I look at myself and my role in it, then I'm not sure there is anything left to happen. Because honestly, you can't look at it. You can't watch people die this way. You can't watch children being brought into the emergency department. They're small bodies, lifeless. Before that, they're eating grass of hunger. People being buried under their homes days upon days before they're removed just to be buried. You can't see that happen unjustly and nothing change. It's not. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, brothers and sisters. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. The witness and that which was witnessed, he swears by it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He witnesses as well. You can't witness things and act like you didn't see them. You saw them. Now you have to say what you're going to do about them and how your life is going to be different because of them. And that's why I think Ramadan, make that starting point. Make it the launching pad for a life that is different. And you'll see that if we just have a handful of people in every masjid that decide to be different and live differently, this ummah would change really quickly. Really quickly. A handful of people. Make sure you're amongst that handful. Make sure you're amongst that handful. Even if everyone listening to me does not decide to make that and is just waiting for me to finish the khutbah, which I will finish, make sure that you're not one of those people. Make sure you're one of those people who will look at things differently after Ramadan. I hope that was a benefit to you. واعلموا أن الله أمرنا بأمر عظيم فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن الله اللهم دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المسلمين في غزة فلسطين وفي السودان وكشمير وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين أبقه عزيزا معززا إلى يوم الدين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم بلغنا أجمعين ليلة القدر واكتب لنا فيها الثواب والأجر واكتبنا من فيها من عتقائك من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم ردنا إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون